we lived in Nashville. After election day, lights are too loud, music too soft. When the Spokies win a place, we headed to our mountain town. Can't tell the signal for the haze, can nobody hear us now?
That's the Rough and Tumble with Wildfire from their new album, We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. Now, the Rough and Tumble first arrived on our radar with their very cute video for their song Teeny Tiny Folk Band from their 2017 EP Cardboard and Christmas Lights. The new album, their first full-length long player, again features the close harmonies, versatile instrumentation, an engaging songwriting of Mallory Graham and Scott Tyler, and celebrates their chosen nomadic lifestyle, mostly out on the open road, traveling from gig to gig in a 16-foot camper van with their dogs for company. And Mallory and Scott are our special guests on Folk Roots Radio today. We've interviewed them once before, and it's great to be able to chat with them again. And our first question, tell us where you are.
We're currently sitting outside of a car dealership in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where we're drinking some really bad coffee and waiting for our airbag light to be fixed.
Yeah, we didn't come here for the bad coffee, but we came here because we needed an oil change and our airbag light was on. So good to get that fixed, you know.
Yeah. And anything blinking in a truck is very nerve-wracking.
Absolutely, especially when it's your home on the road. I think you have a gig down there in the next day or so as well, don't you?
Yeah. We're playing a Valentine's Day show, like a dinner and a show sort of thing, here in the Nob Hill district of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
So I know when we first talked, it was around the time that wonderful video came out. And if you check out folkrootsradio.com or follow the link for this interview, you can check out that video because I just love the way you tell the story of that song. The fun thing is, though, is the fact that you pretty much decided that you were going to give up the home base, which I know was last in Nashville, where you've been doing some recording, and would just travel on the road. Now, are you still in the 16-foot camper van, or has it got bigger or smaller?
Oh, no. I mean, unless the sides start to inflate again, it's staying the same size as it was before. Yeah, we're still in the same camper, and we are still happy, I think, in this size. I don't think we could do any bigger. It's hard to be really inconspicuous with a bigger rig than we have, and we're already not very inconspicuous.
Right.
So. But yeah, it's the same size, same truck. Hopefully after our appointment here, it will still be the same truck.
Yep.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, you have been traveling with your dogs, but sad to hear that you're unfortunately, you just have the one dog with you now. You had Butter and Puddle, and I think unfortunately Butter has passed away and is just Puddle with you these days.
Yeah, she passed away in November. She's getting old. Mm-hmm. She's eight, mm-hmm. which is
old for big dogs, but she had been aging pretty rapidly, and then she passed in November after biting off more than she could chew, quite literally from a bone, and her body just couldn't process it, and it was a really tough blow for us. She had been with us since the very very beginning, before the very beginning of the rough and tumble, and it was a tough thing to. It felt like we lost a bandmate and a friend, and the one we talked to after every show, where if she couldn't come into the show already, we would hop into the camper and say, "Butter, you wouldn't believe the night we had," and it would just be our way of debriefing with her. And so it was a really tough thing to lose her. And Puddle was also pretty sad too. And I think we're still processing it, but we actually dedicated the new record to Butter. We thought it was the most fitting. She was the closest companion we had on the road and the most consistent thing we had as well. So, I mean, even this hunk of junk camper was falling apart, but Butter was always there, you know?
I love that when I saw that on the album, remember, is entitled "We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know," and there's this lovely dedication to Butter inside it. Now, this album, I didn't actually realize it was the first full-length long player, because I think to date you'd released three EPs. One of them being the Cardboard and Christmas Lights album. This album, though, I think has really come from life on the road, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. A few of these songs, we wrote them in the months before we got the camper. And so, like, it's us, you know, beginning to process what it means to decide to move into a camper. And then a bunch of them were written
on the road,
like literally in the truck as we were driving. Mm-hmm. One was written at a Walmart parking lot in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So a lot of these songs, you know, are just out life on the road or are...
It's mostly process. I think it's processing. Once we actually hit the road, it was almost confusing because we didn't know where we belonged. Like, if we were getting kicked out of a parking lot or... there was always this stress of, like, if we get kicked out of everywhere, where do we go, sort of thing. And... we were spending time swooping through Scott's parents' house in California that first year and my parents' house in Pennsylvania, just like going back and forth through the country. And so we're also trying to grapple with the fact that we didn't belong even where we grew up anymore. Like, we didn't even fit there anymore, even though we love to visit. And so some of these songs are just kind of tackling what it's like to be home all the time, but also never have a home, even in the places that we used to call home.
Yeah.
So I think in some ways it was almost like there was this period of readjustment for you, then you had to readjust to this new life. I imagine on the road, though, there must be so much potential material. I know that you do a lot on Facebook. You do the wonderful Double Americana thing you can check out through your Facebook page as well, where you can engage people with whatever you want to talk about in the moment. It must make it, in some ways, easier because you're like living your music 100% of the time. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I think it does. It's at least made it easier in that we're not splitting our personality between music life and and work life and, you know, and home life. It's all kind of just the same thing. You know, that's a really good thing. It's helped us actualize what it means to be folk singers, but it's also kind of a bad thing because we never, you know, are away from work. You know, we feel like we're always kind of working, always kind of going.
It's kind of a strange, like, ethical point in this way for us too, because we feel like we're constantly selling ourselves. like, and truthfully, we don't know how else to operate. We only have our experiences in ourselves, and I know that some people have like other personas that they put up for themselves on stage. And they're selling this other person, but we're literally every show, but also every Double Americana, every blog post, but also when the screens aren't on and the video's not rolling, like that's still just us. And so it's kind of strange to be selling yourself mm-hmm. and your whole life and your whole lifestyle, and for people to be jumping on board with that, it makes you feel good, but then you also kind of go like, is this really me? Is this truly me, or have I become this other person?
Does that mean that there are times when you kind of feel like you really want to get off and, okay, you know, maybe leave the music side somewhere else? Do you ever get that feeling that, you know, I just want to get away from this? Or is it's just become so immersing for you that you accept this as life?
Always and never.
Yeah. We've definitely talked about, you know, parking the camper for a bit and just, you know, getting day jobs
and seeing what
just, you know, seeing if that would be what our music needs for, you know, for the time being. But
then it's also just who we are. Like, I think what makes it confusing for us is that when we think about stopping for a minute, we sit back and go, well, but who else are we? Like, mm-hmm. there's, what else would we do? We're unemployable at this point.
Yeah, that's what music does for you. It makes you unemployable.
Yes, it really does, yeah. You know, and, like, in a lot of ways, we are living the dream. Like, this is what we want to do. Like, the car, you know, the guy there at the car dealership this morning told us we're living the dream.
Oh, yeah.
And, and so, you know.
Or we're living a nightmare. I don't know.
Yeah. One and the same thing all the time.
I think that probably does come through in your shows, because it certainly from the rest of us on the outside is like, oh yeah, wouldn't that be great just to be traveling from place to place, you know, play a show here, you know, head somewhere else, you know, hang out at the beach maybe for a day or so and then, you know, play another show. It does seem idyllic because in some ways we look at it and think, oh yeah, well, you've left all those other troubles behind. But as we started this conversation talking about an engine light, those troubles still travel with you.
And those troubles are more immediate, too. Like, a problem, it feels like, to me, we were just talking about this yesterday, it feels like a problem on the road is the most pressing and immediate problem. And you can't go to the next town. You can't move until that problem is resolved. Even emotional problems, like even us, like, fighting amongst ourselves, we can't get into a truck and drive 4 hours without speaking to each other,
right.
You know, so the problems are immediate and pressing, and they have to be taken care of right away.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a good thing to learn, you know, mm-hmm. if we ever get off the road, maybe that'll be a good thing to take with us. But it's certainly a difficult thing to have to learn mm-hmm. out here.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish that we had conducted a more scientific study of what the psychological and social ramifications of living full time in a camper would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we started off, but we'll let you know what lessons we've learned. You know, when we finally get off the road.
Yeah, and into straitjacket.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be tricky to get therapy on the road, starting a new relationship with a lot of different people. Let's talk about
Ms. Butterstone.
Let's talk about the album, because.
Yeah.
We've mentioned the fact that it has come out of living on the road. The first mm-hmm. track, though, is fairly political. It's in the one we played was Wildfire. It is the first track on the album. It talks about the wildfires that took place in, would it be early 2017 in the southwest of the U.S.? But mm-hmm. also about the I would say the aftermath to the U.S. presidential election. Do you talk about this song?
Absolutely. Yeah. We were playing in a dry county in Kentucky the night of the elections, and we felt really alone. Like it was really shocking for not just for us, but for our group of friends, and we felt so isolated at that point, and we didn't know what to do. And so we kind of went into the woods in Kentucky after that for a good 5 or 6 days, and turned off our phones and just kind of spent some time grappling with what it means for us, what it means for our friends who are varying ethnicity and religion and sexuality. And it was a tough 6 days of trying to insulate ourselves in this way to go back out into the world. And when we emerged from that 6 days in the woods, we were planning to stop in both Nashville and Asheville, North Carolina, where our largest group of friends are. And when we emerged from the woods, we realized that everyone was literally on fire. Like, our friends were evacuating their homes and had fear of, like, smoke inhalation and all these different... And so it was this crazy thing where... No matter how much time we had spent in the woods, the destruction was already kind of taking place, and with everyone's emotional state at the time as well, we couldn't separate what was happening physically from what was happening politically as well. And no matter who you voted for, no matter which side you were on, it was chaos. Like, it is still chaos, and hard lines are being drawn, and families are being separated. And so I think... The sheer destruction that was happening in a place that we called home for a time was, the metaphor seemed undeniable. Mm-hmm. And what we found out when we actually went to Asheville was that these wildfires that had taken place, most of them were created on purpose. They were people who were going to the tops of mountains and literally dousing tires with fluid, setting them on fire and rolling them down the hill, which we actually say in the song. And the reason that these people were caught is because an arsonist cannot stand to not go back and see their work. It was such a horrifying idea, but it felt like exactly what was happening politically in our country.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like a metaphor for the last year and a bit. I did wonder, though, and not to get too much more into the politics, but... You mentioned, you know, you're in the van, you have to find places to stay. And I know a lot of the, you know, whether you would call it the earthquake or whatever that occurred, a lot of it was because people felt left behind. I know a lot of those people end up living in places like their cars and, you know, maybe traveling and, you know, stopping in Walmart parking lots or in places like that. I just wonder, you must have seen an awful lot of people because you're out there on the road looking for places to stay. And I guess you must have seen a lot of that feeling of, you know, being left behind, you know, unrest, that this isn't quite the way that they thought things would be. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. Yes, we did see a lot of that. And I think as we were driving through Kentucky the day of the election, I think we just started having the sinking feeling, because all of the signs that we, you know, all of the political signs that were sitting on people's lawns, were not the signs we were hoping would win. But yeah, we meet a lot of people. We have the good fortune to get to know a lot of people that we wouldn't regularly get to know. You know, music has this way of, you know, forcing cultures to, you know, to kind of rub up against each other in very comfortable ways. And so it's been good to kind of get to know, you know, some people who feel like they've been left behind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while I want to validate that feeling for them, I also think that we're starting to realize that a lot of them have been tricked in some ways and have been, you know, coerced into believing these things about other people that just aren't true.
Yeah.
And like the whole othering of people that you don't understand is, it's, alive here in America. Mm-hmm. And
well, and it's, that's what's so fantastic about being a folk musician too. Like, you get invited into people's homes for house shows. You get invited to certain places, and they see, it's disarming. You know, it allows people to kind of be honest with us, because we're kind of putting everything, we're pretty forward. Like, we're folk singers. Come on. Everybody knows where we stand.
Yeah, we
already. Yeah. So it's incredibly interesting to walk into places and for them to almost already know where we stand. And because of that, there's not this kind of digging around, searching for like, hey, what side are you on? They know where we are, and they kind of just engage with us on this middle ground, and we get to actually see some of the, you know, the people that we have othered, mm-hmm. as well.
Yes.
We get to see how they became the other and how they don't have to be as
right.
well.
Does that mean it steers you away from certain subjects? I mean, Wildfire, you know, it's this political song at the beginning of the album. We're going to look at some other songs in a few moments. But
mm-hmm.
Does it tend to sort of make you feel, well, maybe we shouldn't, you know, put too much politics into our music?
I would say it doesn't. I would say almost like, because we are folk singers, it's almost an expectation that they have put on us as well, that we've put on ourselves, but also that to sort of put on a...
Yeah, and I think the politics, like, politics are always personal. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going about your music singing, you know, honest songs about personal things, I think you can only follow that so far without it becoming a political thing.
Mm-hmm.
So while maybe we're not as outspoken, or, you know, we're not... What am I trying to say? I don't always feel like we're political songwriters, but
we're honest songwriters.
And I think you could follow that down to a
pretty easily.
Yeah, to a whiff.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think not only is music disarming, but also honesty can be really disarming. And when we have the microphone and we are just saying what we think. Like, there's a story we tell where we're like self-admitted hippie camper living vegetarian, you know, lefties, you know, mm-hmm. and so people, they see that honesty and they go, hey, they're comfortable in who they are, and they're approachable as well. Like, music makes it approachable.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that we've done a lot of self-editing at this point. I don't think that we have, but of course there's always those underlying things that you don't recognize you're doing until you're, you know, out of a situation.
Right.
Self-preservation, you know.
Well, let's play another track from the album. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to play the track Baggage, which I love because I think it talks a lot about your life on the road and your chosen lifestyle. So I'm going to get you to talk about this song, and then let's play it. So tell us about Baggage.
Yeah. So
Speaking of baggage,
we'd been in the camper for maybe a month, and we were driving through Utah on our way to Las Vegas, and we wrote this in the front seat on Mallory's banjo-lele.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a song about, you know, emotional baggage and physical baggage, and it's a lot of fun because we
I think it kind of goes back to the root of who, like, the pressing the need to confront our conflict right away, and mm-hmm. and just this idea of like, well, this is a really frustrating situation, but there's nothing else we can do. There's nowhere else we want to be. So let's just kind of push through it. Let's mm-hmm. put it all in the middle of the bed.
Yeah.
Like, let's look at it
yeah.
for what it is.
Yeah, you know, this song and maybe a couple others on this album are they're songs about recognizing that there's conflict, but still wanting to be with that person.
Yeah. And still wanting to be in that place.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
we're huge fans of Cognitive Dissonance, for
yeah.
sure.
Almost our band name.
Well, you know, it's a fun song, and I love the fact that you talk about the dogs in the middle of the bed as well.
Yeah.
Usually usually they're on the floor, but there have been some extra cold nights up in Oregon that they made their way out.
Let's play that just now. This is the Rough and Tumble from their album, We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know, and this is Baggage. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Well, I got a bone to pick with you from back when we were younger. It's 4 in the morning, we're getting on late from a weekend at your brother's. We'd been fighting that little thing, words couldn't get out stronger. Said, what's the matter with keeping all the baggage in the middle of the bed tonight? What's the matter with keeping all the baggage in the middle of the bed tonight? Oh, babe, I'd rather throw it down with you, throw you out and go without you now. Later, yeah, we got a little doggy with all the love the covers. She's big and drooly and a little bit stinky, but I guess it doesn't really matter. We've been fighting about a little thing. She crawled to her mother, said, what's the matter with keeping little doggies in the middle of the bed tonight, huh? What's the matter with keeping little doggies in the middle of the bed tonight? Oh, babe, I'd rather throw it down with you than throw you out and go without you now. Well, I've been thinking while we've been drinking all night till it gets real early. If not the headaches, then I think it's the memories that'll finally get me. We can take any little thing and turn into a fight. Oh, what's the matter with keeping liquor bottles in the middle of the bed tonight? What's the matter with keeping little doggies in the middle of the bed tonight? Hey, what's the matter with keeping all the baggage in the middle of the bed tonight?
That's the Rough and Tumble with the song Baggage from their new album, We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. And Mallory Graham and Scott Tyler from the Rough and Tumble are our special guests on Folk Roots Radio today. They're down in New Mexico. They're getting a car problem dealt with, and they have a show down there tomorrow, which is Valentine's Day. Let's talk about the album, though, because you went back to Nashville to record it. I imagine because of your lifestyle, when you're planning something like, okay, we're going to make an album, it really probably makes the logistics a little tighter for you, doesn't it? The fact that you have to get to wherever you want to be and then make sure that you have enough time in the studio to do what you need to do?
Yeah, it definitely made it tighter. Mm-hmm. And in some ways it made it easier because we had to put time limits on the recording process.
And, oh, yeah, so we can't stress about the same thing over and over until they're exhausted. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, this was, it was really good to make an album like that.
Yeah.
We worked with this fabulous producer in East Nashville. His name's Dave Coleman. He has a band called The Coleman. Mm-hmm. And
he's fantastic.
He is, yeah. He's just...
Like somebody who can just sort of move around the studio, like as you are saying an idea, like I think I want to put mouth trumpet on his mic. He's already setting it up for that before you even get the whole idea out. So there's no idea that goes that's wasted. Like you get to try everything because he's so efficient, and so he doesn't put his input in too much at all. Like he just lets you be yourself as an artist.
He's one of those guys that. That everybody knows when they first move into town because he's played guitar for everybody.
Yeah.
And but he has this fabulous basement studio where
the dogs could sleep with us.
Yeah, the dogs are at our feet for the entire recording process, and we just really got to dig into these songs and in a way that felt really, really homey and comfortable.
Yeah, and he lent us his, like, kitchen appliances and stuff for, like, we used his wooden bowl for different tracks and, and a big wash tub. And, like, there's all kinds of fun stuff he had, like, household objects even that he had laying around that we got to use. In addition to his, like, plethora of instruments.
So it really helps the fact that he, you know, really is able to listen to you, and the fact that he's obviously a pretty good player in his own right. You know, he can add in instrumentation that you're not used to bringing with you. It sounds like a great deal.
Yeah.
And I think you had Mike Shannon and Chris Leonard, that they were the rhythm section for this project too.
Yeah. So they are both old friends of ours as well. We actually recorded a couple of our other albums with Chris Leonard at his studio there in Nashville. And Mike Shannon is one of our oldest friends. We actually roomed with him for the year and a half before we got the camper. And he's an excellent player, like really top notch, but we don't tell him that because it goes to his head.
Well, if he listens to this interview, he'll know.
I know. Man, but it was such a strange, so there's this, the last song on the album, Let's Get the Band Back Together, it wasn't actually supposed to be on this record. It was actually like a half-finished song, and we finished recording all the other songs with the rhythm section, with Mike and Chris, and then we went home that night and we were just talking about how amazing it was to play with our friends again and how crazy it was to find ourselves back in Nashville with these brand new songs, but with all the old baggage that we had with our friends, with all the growing up that we had to do together in this city, that we still found ourselves with these old friends and we were so happy to be making music with them. And how nostalgic that felt, but also how new that felt, how like kid-like it felt, but also how grown up it was. And so we called them that night and said, guys, we have this half a song. We sent it to them. Will you guys please, you know, come back for one more, you know, hour and play this song with us? And they did. They were so excited.
Well, it's a fun song, for us to do because it, you know, as folksy as it is, it also gives us a chance to, you know, to play a little rock and roll. The chorus of the song is, you know, when you love to play rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And
all of us in moving to Nashville, like I was in a rock and roll band, Mike played in, you know, a couple of rock and roll bands, and so did Chris. So we all kind of had our taste of being in a, you know, in a rock and roll band in Nashville sort of thing. And it was just this fun way of looking back and being like, oh, we're different now. But also we still have that little bit of, you know, rock and roll left in us. You know, it's not all over. It wasn't all a waste.
Yeah.
Let's play that just now. This is The Rough and Tumble from the album We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. And this is Let's Get the Band Back Together. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Let's get the band back together for another round of drinks at the new bar on the corner where the old bar used to be. Let's have a couple of rounds and a couple more. Glad the house is coming along, that's what you're working for. Before the termites moved in with their cigarettes and floppy hats and their penchant for the housing market, before the landlord hiked the rent, sold the lot beneath our feet, and the bar stools at the old bar where the new bar is that we can be. Let's get the band back together. It's too hot to sit on the porch like we did that summer. Just as hot as it was then, but we don't see each other. Let's get the band back together. Let's get the band back together and talk about how you love to play rock and roll. You love to play rock and roll. You love to play rock and roll. get the band back together, raise a house divided between what's yours and what's mine and what's compromising. Let's go a couple of rounds on the kitchen floor, punch a hole in the drywall, that's what spackle's for. Then the termites moved in and now I pay for parking. Think about time we spent in sepia and cast your call. Let's get the band back together and talk about how you love to play rock and roll. You love to play rock and roll. You love to play rock and
that's the Rough and Tumble with Let's Get the Band Back Together from their album We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. The Rough and Tumble are Mallory Graham and Scott Tyler, and they travel. They have this wonderful story traveling from gig to gig in this 16-foot van.
Yeah, it's a 16-foot pull-behind camper. So we have our truck, which is, you know, in the shot, and we're currently sitting in our camper in the street.
But it's
16 feet.
So tell us about the live shows. I mean, you're obviously traveling from place to place. You've got a Valentine's show coming up tomorrow. Tell us about what people can expect when they come to a Rough and Tumble show.
Oh, we should probably start writing some love songs before tomorrow.
Yeah, we need to get to that.
I get the impression that you can probably write one overnight, no problem.
We can sure try.
Yeah. What do you expect when you go to a Rough and Tumble show? We tell a lot of stories. We like to really engage with our audience.
That's what kind of makes it for us. We'd like to say that we have some sort of basic script, but without audience interaction, it doesn't work. It can work. We've played lonely corners in bars mm-hmm. before. But then we're interacting with each other more as well.
Yeah.
Like, we are each other's audience as well, and we're trying to make each other laugh a lot during mm-hmm. the show and surprise each other a lot. So that makes it fun for us no matter where we are, but hopefully it makes it fun for the audience too.
Yeah. You can expect a lot of instruments.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes joke that we didn't get into the music business for the music, but only because we like to move musical instruments. I've got acoustic guitars, a banjo. Mallory plays the accordion, toy piano, the banjolele, and she
bells.
Has this box. Yeah, the bells. Mm-hmm. She has this box we call her box of magical options,
mm-hmm.
and it just has. You know,
I just got a Vibraslap for Christmas. As Scott's dad just got me a Vibraslap, which is that real rat-a-tat thing. You hit it once and it goes. This is crazy. But it's been really fun because people, they see how many instruments we have, and then they're like, hey, I actually have this other thing. Maybe you could use it, or maybe we just acquired some clackers the other night mm-hmm. from a venue owner who made clackers. They're just these sticks that make these clacking sounds. And there's always a stipulation when we're given an instrument, and they always say, yeah, but you have to play it. Like, you have to incorporate it. Next time I see you around here, I want you to have actually played this mm-hmm. thing. So I think what you can expect in a show is some experimentation from us, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think what's fun, especially with this new album and these new songs, is, we're starting to experiment again on stage. Like, we don't have our same old
songs anymore. We have new songs.
A new instruments.
Yeah. So we'll pull out the beakers and the chemicals and start the experiments.
And I guess your show really lends itself to house concerts, doesn't it? Because you've mentioned, you know, the fact that you may end up getting some found instruments that somebody, you know, if you need a certain sound. And imagine in a house concert situation, people must really love the idea that they can somehow help with part of the show by, you know, suggesting certain instruments for you.
Yes,
absolutely.
Our first show officially was a house concert, and we've tried to play as many as we can throughout the years, and we've started getting into, you know, more intentional listening rooms, which feel like an outgrowth from the house concert scene. But it's such a wonderful environment because people are there to listen. You know, they're there to engage with musicians, often in towns where they don't get a lot of musicians coming through, and so. Yeah, it's a really fun time. We just played a show in Moriarty, New Mexico, to maybe 25 people in a living room. You know, there's a potluck beforehand, but people are just so kind in those situations. And yeah, it's just a great way to meet people across the state.
And they'll often let us plug in our campers too,
exactly,
which is awesome.
So at the time of our last interview, you were coming into Canada to play a few shows. When are we next going to see you up here?
You know, we've sent out several emails for October, I believe mid-October, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm sorry, end of September, yeah. So we sent out a few emails and we're working some things out, and we will hopefully be making a jaunt through at the end of September, which we would love. We had kind of the best time, and it was snowy, exactly like we thought Canada was all the time. And so, it totally fulfilled expectations, and everybody was actually nice.
Yeah.
So it was a really wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, it's always great to talk to you. I love the new album. Remember, the new album is entitled We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. We're going to be playing our final song in a few moments, but before that, I want to give you a chance to tell people how they can learn more about the band.
Yeah, we have a website, theroughandtumble.com, where we have all of our tour dates, you know, pictures, music videos. We host a blog on the site where, you know, we give you stories from the road. We also have a monthly food blog called The Rumbly Tummy, where we pick a recipe that we've been making in the camper, and we share it with pictures and a story, and it's a lot of fun. But we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, Twitter, and I just redid our artist page on Spotify.
Oh yeah.
So you can engage with us there on Spotify and listen to our music there.
Well, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you, and I hope one day you will park in my driveway. I have that's kind of one of my ambitions in life, that we'll have the Rough and Tumble outside in our driveway when you're playing a show in our area. I thought we would play a rather appropriate song to finish, and that's Take Me With You. Now, I think this is a song that also appeared on one of the EPs. Gave you a chance just to talk about it, and then let's give it a spin.
Okay. It was the one song that carried over, and that we felt like we wanted to give another go to, just because it was a song that was so true. Like, it was just so important for us. It's an important song for our relationship, but also for our lifestyle, to just sort of, it's almost a little like breathing meditation for us of I'm going this way. You don't have a choice. You have to go with me too. Even if you don't want to. And it's a song that's been really, it's brought us back together a lot of times, and has been a point of togetherness that we felt like was super appropriate for an album also about home.
That's a perfect way to finish. This is The Rough and Tumble from the album We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. And this is Take Me With You. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. And Mallory and Scott, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, Jan.
to turn the clocks. We keep all our windows locked at night. There's one light on. We wrote all the great love songs upon a square of kitchen wall. We write to sing and sing to soothe the soul. You know what it means to be forgotten. I know what it means to be alone. Next time you feel like leaving, take me with you. Next time you feel like leaving, take me with you. We hadn't pulled a punch or two. With our left arm falling, we'll climb splinters to that sliver moon. Bring a jar of Elmer's glue tonight, and I'll fill it in for you. You know what it means to say you're sorry. Next time you feel like leaving, take me with you. Next time you feel like leaving, take me with you. Ooh, next time you feel like leaving, take me with you.